Amen. Good morning, everyone. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Thank you, Brother Jess, for leading the singing and everything. And thank you all for coming, for the visitors. It's been a busy week for us, but I'm a little tired. We're glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And it's good to serve the Lord. You know, last week we were in a different church. Last week I was preaching in a different church. But, you know, it's good to be back, and it's good to serve the Lord and stand for the truth. And you know, you're doing the right thing, and your church is a good church, and you're trying to live the Bible and the Bible alone and try to be pure. So really you can see, you know, the difference. But, you know, as a preacher, you know, we have responsibility to preach the gospel. So that was a blessing. Mark chapter 9, verses 14, okay? Let's pray first. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us and grace to us. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible that we can read so that we can, we have the authority, we have the basis of our faith. Thank you, Lord, for the church, a good church that we have. Lord, we pray for pastor as he preaches in Alberta. Lord, I pray for myself. Pray, Lord, that you would help me. Help me to send your message to our congregation this morning and to lift you up. And that's all I want, that people would go away and say, God is great. What a great Savior we have. And come to you in humility. We thank you, Jesus, for your love to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mark chapter 9, verses 14. To verse 27. Okay, actually it's a long verse, so maybe you should you can be seated, and we'll read it together. Okay, Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. Okay, this situation was after the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. And when they came down from the mountain of transfiguration, this is what happened. People were asking his disciples, verse 15, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, that was Jesus, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they should not, that they should cast him out, and they could not. That's the father talking to Jesus about his son that he brought to the disciples. Verse 19, Jesus talking to his disciples, he answered and said, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? That means, how long shall I bear with you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, that's the child. And when he saw him, he straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Verse 21. Take note of this verse. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this man, since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Okay? Jesus said, asked the father, he said, how long is it ago since this came unto your son? And the father said, of a child. Well, I believe that Jesus asked this question to the child's father, not to see if he can heal him, not to see if it's, it's too long, I can't do that. No. It's not, obviously, because he did heal the son, it's not to see if the father is going to be honest enough to, you know, because there's no reason for him to hide how long was his son sick. But I believe that Jesus was asking this man, how long since your son was sick, is for the people and for you and for myself. For us to see how powerful God is. I believe he did not whisper. I believe he said loudly so that people can hear. Father of this child, how long was your son been sick? And he probably said, well, it's been long. Say it loudly so that they can hear. And he said, it's been like that since he was a child. And Jesus healed him. To show us the power that he can't just heal a year sickness or 2 year sickness or 10 year sickness, but even a child who was even sick from his childhood. Verse 22, and oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, that's the Father, have compassion on us and help us. We'll talk about the heart of the Father next time. In the future here. Verse 23 said, Jesus said unto him, take note of this verse. This is where we're going to dwell more. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, help me. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. The spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. The title of our message this morning is, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. First, let's look at verse 23. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. First of all, I would like to give you three truths. There are lots of truth in the Bible, but three truths concerning believing in God. Three truths that we cannot deny and we cannot change concerning believing in God. Number one, if we really believe that God exists, if we really believe that God exists and we believe that he exists, you know, for me, the greatest evidence that there is God is this. There was never a history of mankind. You know, I'm not very good in history, but correct me if I'm wrong. There was never a history in mankind where man never seek for God. Have you thought about that? There was never even a 10-year or a year time that says people has found out that there is no God and they don't look for God anymore. Never. Never. Any time in history, you can always pinpoint a soul looking for his Savior. A soul looking for his Creator. You go to a civilized place, you go to a mountain, everywhere you go, a soul is always looking for his Creator. For me, that's one of the big evidence that there is God. We look for our Creator. Number one is, if God really exists and we believe that God exists, you know, believing in God is not a choice. Have you thought about that? If he exists, and he really does, believing in God is not a choice. To believe or not to believe is not your choice, my friend. You are required to believe that he exists. Suppose, you know, a son would wake up in the morning. You think he has a choice. Well, I'm going to think if I'm going to believe, I'm going to live my life as if I have a dad or not. You think he has a choice? He doesn't have a choice. He has to believe and accept that he has a father, or else he'll be in trouble. Amen? Suppose a husband, you know, would wake up in the morning. He has a wife and kids. You think he would wake up in the morning, I'm gonna decide today if I'm going to live like if I have a wife and as if I am a husband, a father, or not. Maybe I have a choice. He doesn't have a choice. He has to face the reality that he has a wife. If he doesn't, he will run into a problem. He would go to town and come back to the house. He say, I'm a single guy. I don't have a wife. I don't have kids. Would go to town and come back to house And he would open the door and look who's there. There's a lady inside the house. Who are you? I'm Joyza. Joyza who? I'm your wife. You mean I'm married? Yes. See this, Roy and Charles? These are our kids. You see? Somewhere along the line, he will face the reality and life will not work for him because the reality, God exists. He tries to deny him, but he does exist. He'll face the problem, the reality that there is God. Have you thought about that? To believe or not to believe is not a choice, my friend. We are required to believe. Number two, to believe not in God, okay, to believe not in God doesn't change the reality that God exists. Have you thought about that? It doesn't mean that, I'm a single guy, I don't believe I have a wife. That doesn't make my wife disappear. That doesn't make my wife disappear. I don't believe I have a son. That doesn't make my kids disappear. Sooner or later, you'll hear them crying. Right? Sooner or later, you have to take care of them. You'll bump into them. And you'll face the reality that they are real. That's number two. Number three truth about believing in God. To believe not in God doesn't take out our responsibility towards Him. To believe not in God doesn't take out our responsibility as our Creator. Lots of people would say, you know what? I think I'm going to choose not to believe in God because if I choose to believe in Him, then I have to go to church. If I choose to believe in Him, then I have to read my Bible and I have to live for Him. So I'm not going to choose to believe in Him. I'm just going to choose not to believe in Him. Do you think that will work? It won't work. It won't work. You think if I say, you know what, I'm going to choose not to believe that I am married, that I have kids, I'm just going to choose I'm a single guy and forget about them. You think that takes out my responsibility to be a father and to be a husband? You know what makes me? If I do that, that makes me irresponsible, father. That makes me an uncaring a husband. You see, when you say, I don't believe in God, that doesn't make God disappear. That doesn't take out your responsibility to Him as your Creator. To believe or not to believe is not your choice. God exists. You have to believe in Him. You have to live for Him. And then Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I will share you two things here. Number one is the simplicity of his requirement. He said, if thou canst believe. Have you thought about that? Believe. He never said, if thou can love, if you can love, all things are possible to them who love. Well, if he said, if thou can love, I'll probably be very poor on that one. If he would say, if thou can have a patience, then everything is possible for you. Well, not very many of us would go far on that one. If thou can be a good person, all things are possible to him that is a good person. Well, I don't know who would be very good on that one. If thou can be a good looking, or if thou can be a skillful or a talented, you know, all things are possible to them are talented. No. If thou can believe. You see, it's very simple. It's very simple. All the other things, not all of us can do, but believing, all of us can do it. The poor, the rich, they can believe. The young, the old, they can believe. The sick, the well, they can believe. Anywhere you are today, there's no reason for you not to believe in Him, because you can believe. If you can believe, if thou canst believe, Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believe. Here we see the supremacy, not just the simplicity, but the supremacy of his requirement. You know, all the other virtues points toward ourselves, except faith or belief. You see, if he did says, if you can love, all things are possible that love. That means if you, it points toward you. If you can have patience, if you can be caring, all those things talks about you except one. Believe. Believe. What is believe? This is believe. When we believe, we shift the responsibility from us to the person to whom we believe. We shift the power from our power to the person to whom we believe. We shift the ability, okay, the possibility from ourselves to the one to whom we believe. Okay? I'll explain to you a little bit. See, if I say, I would like to build a house, and lots of you know how very good I am in building a house. Okay? If I want to build a house, I can only do so much. I don't know a lot in building. I will be limited to build a house. But if I have a friend, okay, Duncan is not here. I'll say, Duncan is my friend, and he's a very good carpenter. Or Andrew or Josiah is, you know, they are my friends, and they're very good carpenter, and they can do almost everything. Let's say everything, okay? They can do everything when it comes to carpentry. For me, I can only do few things. For them, they can do all things. Now, if I say, hey, Andrew, can you build me a house? Can you help me build a house? And he said, yes, I can build you a house. Only one thing I would require you. You let me do it. Let me do whatever needs to be done. Let me do it, and let me do whatever needs to be done. And I'll build it for you. Then I'll say, go ahead. I say, yes. Now, from me being able to do few things, if I want a porch, you think I can have one? If I want a deck, you think I can have one? If I want a roof, you think you can build me one? If I want a window or a door or whatever you want me to, a garage or whatever, you think I can have one? Yes. What makes me possible to have those things? Because of me? No. Because of the one to whom I put my faith into. Jesus said, all things, not few, not many, all things are possible to them who believe. It's not because of them, but to whom they put their faith into. You see, even the word yes or the word go ahead that I said, my faith doesn't build the house. My faith just gives him the response or the authority to go ahead and do what needs to be done. You see, your faith and my faith doesn't make things happen. It doesn't make things happen. It doesn't heal the sick. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't give us the job. It doesn't make things happen. Our faith gives God the go-ahead to do things in our lives. That's why he says, all things are possible to them that believe. From few things are possible to them who believe not, becomes all things are possible to them who believe. You see, that's what belief is. That's what faith is. When we don't do it, and we let God do it. Now, let us look at the Father. Verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. We can see here the heart of the Father. This is another truth. The truth is, you know, when it comes to ourselves, we are very, very seldom to ask help. Have you thought about that? You know, when it comes to us, people doesn't want to ask help. Especially men, they don't want to ask help. Are you sick? No, I'm okay. I'm okay, but they are sick. But I'm trying to say, if it's just us, there's a little bit of pride in there. We're not going to ask help unless we need to. But you know what? When it comes to our kids, we are like that man. When it comes to our kids, we don't wait till they are almost dying before we go to the hospital. just a flu, we would bring them to the hospital. Because, you know, this mind goes crazy, eh? Think a lot of things. And just to make sure, so we would go to the hospital. When it comes to kids, our hearts are soft. That's the heart of the Father. Don't wonder if God is using your kids to break you, to mold you. How many Christians got saved because of their kids? You know what? The truth is, God knows how to call our attention. He knows how to call our attention. And most of us, that's our soft spot, our kids. Well, do you mean God can give them sickness so that I would listen to Him? Yes. You mean God will give me trial so that I would listen to Him? Yes. God can make me ill so that I would listen to Him? Yes. Well, I thought God is good and He is a loving God. How come that He would give me illness so that I would come to Him? Well, you tell that to a doctor. We have some doctor here. Tell that to a doctor. I thought you doctors are making people well. Why do you poke people with needles? I thought you are here to make people well. I thought you are here to help people, but why would you give them medicine that are unpleasant to the taste? You know why? That little suffering, time frame of suffering, is designed so that you would live good after. Am I right? Same thing with God. What would you have? A healthy body for the meantime? And a lost soul forever? Or a sick body for a meantime? And a soul in heaven forever? God is wise. God is wise to call us. It's so sad. The Bible never said that this man, that this was his first child. I don't know. The Bible never said that, you know, this was his first child before he came to Christ. Who knows? But the question is, how many kids would it take for God to call us? How many illnesses would it take for God to call us? How many before we would come to Him? How many? We see the Father's heart. And three things we see with this Father: His faith, His honesty, and His humbleness, His humility. Number one, His faith. Let us look at the word believe. He says, "Lord, I believe." Straightway, verse 24, straightway the father of a child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Here's the tricky question here. Does the father believe in Jesus or not? Does the father believe in Jesus or not? Have you thought about that verse? "Lord, help my unbelief, I believe, help my unbelief." Does the father believe in Jesus or not? If he believe in Jesus, why does the verse say unbelief? And if he doesn't believe in Jesus, why would he say, "I believe"? For me, I believe the Father believes in Jesus just like we do. We say we believe in Jesus. We pray for things, and yet we don't really believe Him. We thought about that. We pray for things that we know God will answer because it's His will. It's not wrong to ask those things. There's no reason why God would not answer our prayer, and yet we don't see the answer because we don't believe in Him. The Father believed just like we do, and yet He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't really fully believe in Jesus. And also, the truth is, our faith is so small. Jesus said, the greatest faith you can have is how big? A grain of mustard. Can you imagine how big is that? That's too small. But Jesus said, that's the greatest faith you can have. our faith is so small and it's not possible to make things happen, so God has to help us to make things happen. Suppose I'm hungry, you know, and I would go to a store and I would say, "Sir, can I have a pizza? I'm hungry." And he says, "Do you have a money?" I said, "I do." So I get my money, give him 10 cents. And I say, "Sir, here's my money." He would look at my money, 10 cents. He said, "You can't buy pizza with this." And I say, "I'm sorry, but that's all I have. Can you help me out, please?" If the guy is good enough, he'll give me pizza. Not because of my money, because he gives me, because of his grace. You know, same thing, exactly what happened to the guy. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." His faith. Number two, his honesty. His honesty. What he was saying there is, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine," look at the word, "unbelief." He said that the first one, he said belief, and then the second one, he said unbelief. He's an honest guy. He's just honest. He's just real in his coming to Christ. He was saying, "Lord, I believe, but you know deep inside in my heart that I don't really, believe. I would like to. Would you please help me to believe in you? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Can you relate unto that? I can relate to that. Lots of times I said, "Lord, I believe. But if God will really judge our heart, we don't really believe unless He helps us. He is honest. The truth is that God already knows if he believes or not, even before he says those words. God just wants to be honest about our sin, wants us to be honest about our sin and confess it to him. You know, see, confession. Do you think God doesn't know your sin? He knows your sin, but he wants us to be honest with our sin. Here's the thing. Over and over in the Bible, you never see Jesus so hard dealing with people that are sinners. Adulterous woman found guilty with adultery. Was Jesus hard on her? Jesus did not condone her sin, but he was never hard on her. He said, "Where are your accuser?" He said, they're gone. See, Jesus was not hard on her because she acknowledged that she is sinful. See, Zacchaeus, a publican, people call him thief. Was Jesus hard on him? No, because Zacchaeus acknowledged of his sinfulness and need of his Savior. You know who Jesus was hard on? Pharisee. Those are the people to whom God, you'll hear him saying hard things. "You son of viper," he said. "Who told you that you'll escape the judgment of God?" You know why Jesus was so upset with those kind of people? Because they say one thing and do another. They are one thing and they pretend to be another. They don't want to confess their sin. They try to hide their sin. That's what Jesus is upset with. Nothing is more disappointing or more discouraging to know a person or more offensive, even for us, than when you know someone did something wrong, and then you ask him, they pretend, as if they're so innocent. And yet, you probably see them in camera or something, or you saw the letter, and you read the letter, you just want to confirm if he's going to be honest. And he would try to, "No, what, I don't know what you're talking about." You know, it's very disappointing, right? And yet God knows us and waits for us to confess, and we don't. In RU, we said, it's amazing that God loves us in spite of how he knows us. God loving us in spite of knowing us. But this man is honest. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And lastly, he's humble person. Let's look at the word help. You know, this man, it's one thing to be honest and another thing to be humble. It's one thing to be honest and another thing to be humble. He could have said, Lord, I believe. And you can see my unbelief. You know, I don't really. Well, you know, I'm just a man. I'm just a human. And you have to understand me. He could have said that. He could have been honest and yet proud. But instead he said, Lord, I believe. You know, my faith is not enough. Can you please help me to believe in you? Can you please help me? I need your help. I need your help. You know, this father is a representative of us all here. If we are to be honest and humble enough, we would say the same thing. Lord, I believe. But Lord, help my unbelief. We said we believe in God and we try things on our own strength. We believe God can fix problems and He can heal things, and yet we try to fix it on our own. We said we believe in God, and yet we live like we don't have God at all. We believe, and yet we don't. Let's read the rest of the story. When Jesus saw that the people are coming, people came running together, He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was one dead. And so much that many said, he is dead. Verse 27, take note. But Jesus took him by the hand, lift him up, and he arose. Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. You know what Jesus said? Took him by the hand, lift him up. Said, arise and sin no more. Will you be honest this morning? Will you be honest? Yes, you're here. You say you believe. You come to church. You say you believe. And yet deep inside in your heart, you don't really believe in God. Will you be honest and be humble? Lord, I need you. Maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you're not saved. You don't know about salvation. Maybe you don't know where you're going when you finish the life here on earth. Maybe you're not sure of eternity. Would you believe in Him? Would you say, Lord, I believe. I'm not exactly sure how to believe. Can you please help me to believe in you? Would you do that? At closing, there's a story of a son and his dad, and they had a fire in their house. And everyone was rushing to get out of the house. And they forgot the son that is on the second floor. And they said, oh, our son is on the second floor. We have to get him. Then they tried to get in, but it's too late. Fire is all over. And they said, maybe he can jump on the roof and we'll catch him. And from the ground, the father can see the son and said, son, can you see me? The son cannot see the father. He can only see smoke and darkness and fire. The son said, Dad, I can hear you, but I can't see you. The father said, jump, son, jump. The son said, Dad, I can't see you. And the father said, well, I can see you, and that's all that matters. Maybe that's you today. You don't really sure, but God is calling you. Don't worry. He can see you. He can see you, and He can help you.